In a world where every podcaster is lining up behind the velvet rope to be the first to review everything entertainment related, they'll all turn around to find the line cutters have already cut ahead.
Oh God.
Why?
Son of a... Stop.
Okay.
I'm sorry!
That's dumb. Idiot!
Let me say that again.
That's not what I meant.
What are you saying?
It hurts.
No. 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 Wrong.
Can everyone shut up?
What?
What? What?
What?
What? What?
What?
And welcome everyone to another episode of The Line Cutters. There is no Al here right now, so there is no Woo. The show feels woefully... No.
Al.
The show feels woefully incomplete. That was good. That was better.
Woo!
Was better. No, AJ, not good.
Woo, 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 woo.
That's
we
the copyright
are...
lawyer.
We are the Line Cutters, where we take internet arguments and put them into a convenient audio form. I'm your host at the board today, James. I'm joined in studio by...
Pope.
And...
Cappy!
And we are joined in on the... I was going to say telephone, but that's not quite true. It's the internet's...
Interphone!
Matt.
Woo!
Yes, better? Matt has crawled out of hiding... Just for the new year, he goes away and hibernates. Then until next year,
you know, so. Like the underground bunker is so nice at this time of year. I just had to get out for a bit, just for the first show of the Line Cutters 2015.
I have heard.
In all seriousness, I'm excited to be back. It's good to be back.
I have heard that underground bunkers are becoming more and more popular, especially with the global climate. I mean, something on the news about it earlier today. Anyway.
I was going to say, is there like a Y2K I missed?
Kind of ish. Like whenever like you get a lot more like crazies with the guns on the news, you get a lot more people building fallout shelters. There's a correlation and it's actually kind of logical.
Okay. Well, for this show, we wanted to take a look back at 2015 before we get all excited about 2016 and go over kind of some of our favorite things from the year. That I'm talking about our favorite movies, favorite TV shows, best video games, and some other awesome stuff. Maybe the best things we did during the year. So I'm going to think, I think it might just get us straight off to bat and rolling. What do we think about movies this year? Was this a good year for movies, guys?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yes.
Definitely say so.
I mean, whether
it's a profitable year for movies.
Definitely. I mean, you know, you got your like two of the top 10 grossing movies of all time coming from this year now. Not to mention there was a great deal of awesome indie under the radar kind of movies.
And a lot of great surprises too. I know there was a whole lot of movies on my radar that I wasn't, you know, like, oh, I don't think this is going to be good, or where did this come from, you know?
And you come out of the theater with the perma smile.
Yeah. It's a good surprise is always great. Well, and I think that's the best thing about my list. I'm going to say my top three movies are... my third favorite movie is probably pretty standard. I'm going to say Star Wars, right? Mm-hmm. Star Wars was great. I'm super excited. We got a good Star Wars movie by J.J. Abrams.
Woo!
You know, I'm not going to dwell on it. Obviously, the entire network's been talking about Star Wars nonstop for the past couple of weeks.
Yay.
My next two movies, though, were definitely huge surprises for me. I'm going to say my second favorite movie of the year was Mad Max. I'd never watched any of the other Mad Max movies. And I saw this trailer. I saw kind of the neat style it was filmed in with the high, you know, very vibrant colors, this awesome soundtrack. And I'm like, this movie looks awesome. And I was not disappointed. And it's surprisingly relevant and important in kind of the story it told, you know, as giving us more or less the story of Furiosa and less so much the story of Mad Max. And I think that was that was one of the big surprises. Not only was this film gorgeous and a success made by a 80-year-old George Miller who hasn't done anything like this in years, but that it was so, it was such an important story, you know. And as John, as you said, that perma smile kind of just, I just had it for weeks after leaving the theater. I'm going to say my number one movie, though, was a movie that I watched as I was trying to watch a catalog of a bunch of movies for the actors in the new Star Wars movie. And I managed to get my hands on a copy of Ex Machina after it came out. And for those of you who don't know Ex Machina, it it's basically a film where Oscar Isaac, he was Poe Dameron in Star Wars, plays kind of like the guy who invented Google, quote unquote, in this world. And he sets up a contest to have somebody come and work with him on a top secret project at his, like, yes?
Both of the lead actors actually were in
Star Wars. I was just going to say, and he invites along
dude with the
Domhnall Gleeson. Domhnall Gleeson. As the winner of this contest, as the opening of the movie. And it's about him and Domhnall Gleeson meeting this character, Ava, who's a complete artificial intelligence. And it becomes this intense psychological thriller that was just incredible. I mean, not only is this movie shot beautifully, has some incredibly amazing moments, but it's one of those films that walks away leaving you thinking and wondering. And there are times in the movie where you're even questioning the things that you're seeing right along with the main character. It was, I mean, just an incredible movie with just so many incredible things, from the performances to the cinematography to the whole story. It really, it was just impressive, you know? And I feel like we get a lot of fun science fiction now as science fiction's become really popular. But I think the best part about science fiction is it's supposed to make you think and kind of shine a light on what we're doing in current society. And that 100% is what Ex Machina did. I don't want to say too much more because I don't want to spoil it, but I think Ex Machina was just fantastic and probably my favorite thing I watched. Well, not technically in the theaters, but of movies this year.
Hey, yeah.
I didn't get to see a lot of movies this year, and it's part of it's because, like, I was just afraid it'd all be terrible. I don't know. It's just so much of this year's movies were and I know this happens every year, but everything like rehashing and cashing in on nostalgia. I mean, obviously we have Star Wars, which I liked, but obviously the entire thing was cashing in on nostalgia. And then there's Jurassic World. And then there's Tomorrowland. And then there's
Ant-Man.
Oh. I'm going to say Ant-Man might not quite be nostalgia. It's more the Marvel
really
formula.
Ant-Man, unless you're a super hardcore comic book fan.
Terminator.
Terminator
came out.
Absolutely. I mean, it just,
as we keep going, the list, these movies on this your list, AJ, they get worse and worse as you
I know.
Keep naming them.
I'm trying to remember what they were because I didn't like them so much. It's just, so I will say that those were obviously fun, but I wouldn't call them the greatest movies ever. What I did like, and I went out to see, was The Martian. That movie has you laughing a lot, and it's ridiculous because it's the entire movie is just pure suspense. Like, this guy's life balances on the edge of a knife the entire movie, but he's got you laughing somehow, and it's ridiculous. Like, and also it shows all the possible ever uses of duct tape in every way, shape, and form. Now,
engineer's
dream. I read the book, and it was like, you know, it translated really well. I think they got it pretty well. And so The Martian is what I'm standing by this year.
The Martian was a great movie. Great source material, and Ridley Scott did a really great job directing it. As someone who I don't think has a humongous catalog of incredible films, You know, he kind of runs the gambit. So The Martian was a great film this year. What about you, Pope?
I'd say my favorite experiences in a theater this year were probably all animated, actually.
Really? All right. Which all right. ones?
Well, number three, a lot of people might disagree with me. Like, I really liked Hotel Transylvania 2.
Oh, okay. Getting to Trabowski's second outing?
Yeah. Could be because I saw it in a drive-in, and usually that adds a lot to the experience. Number two was The Good Dinosaur, where really you watch that movie, and, like, if you don't feel something, you don't have a soul. And then, you know, Inside Out, because, you know, the big twist kind of made me cry like a little girl in the theater twice. But, I would say really there was a very strong showing for animated movies this year. And I would say, you know, if I could say number four, I liked The Man from U.N.C.L.E. a lot, you know, if I want to give a live action movie. But, but no, those were probably my favorite three movies for the year. And, you know, it's always nice to see that you don't necessarily have to have real people interacting in order to, you know, feel something when you go into a theater.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of animated movies, right? So we had not just the Pixar ones, but there were quite a few this year.
Minions came out this year, too.
Minions came out this year.
There were parts of that movie
varying success, but we had a Peanuts movie that was actually quite good. We had Shaun the Sheep came out this year, which is by the guys who do all the stop animation. Crap, what are their names?
The Wallace and Gromit guys.
Yeah, the Wallace and Gromit guys. Mark Burton and Richard Starsky.
That's it.
Yep.
Okay.
So we had quite a few interesting animated movies this year. We had some not so interesting animated movies this year. We had things like the SpongeBob movie, but you know, not everything's got to be a winner.
I mean,
what about you, Matt? What was your big movies for 2015?
I mean, a lot of those are already covered, so apologize for retreading ground a bit, but I'll try to keep things fresh. Like AJ, I didn't see much with movies, and I would say definitely my number one and number two movies, which they jockey for position depending on the day, would definitely be Star Wars and Mad Max. Obviously Mad Max is something I knew vaguely about, but witnessing it and watching it was quite an experience, especially seeing with all the people, with everybody, the line cutters. That was awesome, really awesome. And Star Wars, just like probably one of the most anticipated film of mine for years, and seeing it come into fruition and exceed all my expectations, that was an amazing experience. But for a third movie, it's going to be a little controversial, at least amongst people here at Non-Pro. But as much as we disagree with a lot of parts and how we were frustrated, I did really enjoy Age of Ultron. I did enjoy watching it. And just with the news now that Joss Whedon is leaving the MCU, working on the MCU, it felt like it made it a lot more important just to see like what went right with the movie, what went wrong with the movie, and kind of reflect on Whedon's time with Marvel. And it's a little sad to see that it had to end on that movie, especially considering the stories that it didn't go how he wanted. But I still enjoyed it. Still the MCU is my go-to place for superhero movies and in a comic book entertainment. And despite a lot of the gripes I've had, it was definitely worth something. Was worth seeing in the theaters and enjoying with my friends and family.
Yeah, I think Ultron was an interesting movie. It was definitely a bit divisive. I think it's one I'll want to watch again, you know, outside of the theater, kind of after the hype, to really give it a good watch. So moving on, I think we've talked a lot about movies. Let's talk about Matt's favorite topic, video games.
Yay! Wow. Yeah. I mean, I'll ask the question first. Do you guys think this was a good year for video games?
Yeah.
I feel like there was kind of a gap because there were some really, really good games this year. And I don't really feel like there was much to the good, very good realm. It was either like excellent or I didn't really care to play it.
I think that's kind of where I fall. This was, I think, a divisive year in games as far as I can think of it. There were some amazing games which were well worth the hype. But then there was a lot of problems in gaming. You know, we're just pumping out these Assassin's Creed games. We had the whole mess with Batman not being playable on the PC. We have the whole Hideo Kojima thing was all this year. I mean, boy, a lot of missteps, I think.
Battlefield Hardline.
Yeah, we did. With the season pass for Star Wars Battlefront. I mean, there's a lot of things in gaming I'm not super excited about, but I still think I could take away a couple of things I really liked.
All right, I'm actually very surprised at this, at everybody's response, because I thought this was one of the best years in gaming that we've had in a while.
Oh, man, all right.
Now, maybe not, like, it hasn't been as consistent with previous years.
It's not 1995, I'll tell you
it's
that.
It's not, nothing will be 95 and us being, like, 8 years old again, but I feel like the highs of this year were higher than anything we've seen in a long time, and just the fact that, like, we had a lot of good, along with like all the pretty cruddy rehashes and stuff, we had some really fantastic returns to form for series. But also we had a lot of really interesting introductions, new series, new games. And so I guess without further ado, I'll talk about my three favorite games. My third favorite, it was very tough to pick at the end between Fallout 4 and this other game, but I have to give it to this. I will have to give it to Star Wars Battlefront, just for the fact that I was completely taken by surprise at it. With Fallout 4, I kind of knew what was coming. It was going to be another Bethesda open world game, lots of fun, but maybe a lot of the same. But with Battlefront, we haven't had a Battlefront game in years, and seeing DICE take a swing at it, the creators of Battlefield, I was interested. But I was kind of worried because, as we've mentioned before, we've had issues with the season pass, all that kind of garbage. But even without it, if you haven't heard me before, you don't need the season pass to really enjoy the game. The game itself is absolutely fantastic. It's something that we're all getting older here. We don't have the time that we had when we were like teenagers, able to stay up all day, and Star Wars Battlefront just like fits right into that
pick
sweet
up and
spot
play
between hardcore gaming and casual pick up and play. You have like the epic grand scale battles of Battlefield and Battlefield and Star Wars, but you have the intuitiveness of that EA is honestly really good at, and able to jump in with playing with friends. I mean, I was playing with our Line Cutter alumni Vin. After we both got the game, and just jumping into a match of Fighter Squadron, we both fell in love. It like harkened us back to original Xbox Crimson Skies days, just flying in the air within X-Wings and TIE Fighters and just having at it. So for game number three, I'm going to have to give it to Battlefront. For game number two, I'm going to give it to Metal Gear Solid 5. Possibly.
Only game number two?
Only game number two.
Damn! Now I got to know what game number one is.
But no, this isn't a slight, because Metal Gear Solid 5, I put in more hours than any other game this year. It was that good. Like Hideo Kojima's swan song with Konami. It was very. It left a kind of a bitter taste at the end, knowing like what had happened behind the scenes. It was very bittersweet. But just the experience and playing through it, it's honestly my favorite Metal Gear game to play. Even though with all the issues in developing it and the fact that it's still honestly kind of unfinished, even in its current state, it's still miles above 90% of games out there today. And it was just a just the complete package of gameplay, graphics, sound, everything. It was honestly, it was my most anticipated game, and it definitely met the expectations very well. For my number one game, though, I talked about how we had a lot of good introductions to new series and new games, and I think this game, and actually an episodic game, is exceeded all my expectations, and is honestly, I'm very excited for how, what lies in the future for the developers. So without further ado, my number one game is definitely Life is Strange.
Ah, so good.
You might have seen some of my reviews on the non-pro website, hyping up the game, and honestly, the hype is completely legit. This is my favorite adventure game of all time. I would even say it beats out games like Monkey Island, Full Throttle, Grim Fandango. Life is Strange is up there, and in some cases surpasses the classic adventure games. Like, it proves like a genre, like the adventure game series, which has sort of received a revival like The Walking Dead and other Telltale games.
Mm-hmm.
You could still do more with it than just have a Telltale game coming out. Just the story, the music, the characters, the voice acting. It was a beautiful story and a beautiful game. And the reason why I haven't written a final review for the last episode is because I'm still working out my feelings about it. Just like I was so completely invested in these characters, in this setting, in this story, and this ending. I'm still trying to work it all out. No other game has really made me think this hard about like what I feel about it, because like I just my complete and total investment in this universe. I have to give Don't Nod Entertainment all the credit in the world for creating such a fantastic new series, and I'm totally on board with whatever they come out next. So Life is Strange, it is definitely my game of the year.
I think I'm gonna jump right on you there, Matt. Life is Strange is definitely on my top games of the year. I don't, you know, I also don't really get to play that many video games, so I can't say I have even that many to talk about. I didn't get to play Metal Gear. I just got my Xbox, you know, and I'd love to say that I you know, I could be like, oh man, you know, my entry in the Tales series was so good this year. But, you know, even that kind of is, I haven't finished it yet, but it's kind of letting me down. It's certainly no Zillia 2, which was last year. I wanted to be like, oh man, Zillia 2 was great. Well, that was last year. Mm-hmm. But I think Life is Strange is definitely on my list. But I think my favorite game of the year, and I'm just going to do one, is a game that really got me excited to play a genre I haven't really been into since Halo 2 multiplayer on the Xbox. I don't love shooters. I'm not going to lie. You know, I've been enjoying Battlefront, Matt, but, you know, it feels very much like a modern shooter. It's not, you know, other than when I'm flying around a Star Wars spaceship, it's not incredibly, you know, exciting or new and adventurous, and I think that's where this game came in. When I picked up Splatoon from Nintendo, I was so excited. First off, this is a new IP from Nintendo. How long has it been since we've gotten a new IP from Nintendo? A new, successful, awesome IP from Nintendo.
Let me
clarify. And it made me have fun with a genre that I've thought has felt stale for so long, and it's made the genre, I think, really applicable to lots of people. I certainly am going to guarantee you there's going to be a lot of young kids who are going to start to love shooters going forward because of Splatoon, because of the way it makes shooters accessible to younger kids, the way it's a shooter that parents are going to be okay with their kids playing. It just, there's something really awesome about Splatoon, and I think Nintendo, who struggled with the kind of DLC sort of model, just is kicking butt with Splatoon, right? So it's a game that you could argue, kind of like Battlefront, people will make the argument that there's not enough content in it, blah, 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 blah. But Nintendo has every week been pumping out new guns, new maps, new game modes, every month they have a Splatfest, which is a humongous multiplayer event for everyone to take part in. And it's just, it's a blast. You know, it took Nintendo a long time, I think, to get to the online formula. But I'm going to say with Splatoon, they know what they're doing. You know, they've got a community there of people who love playing together and who are really good at the game. I'm rank C, and I'm pretty much, I hover between rank C and rank B consistently forever. But, you know, there are a lot of people who are really good at this game, and even when you're not, it's still a blast. And it doesn't feel like you're outclassed all the time, you know, which is one of my biggest problems with playing all these other shooters, is I always feel like I can't pick it up and just have a good time anymore. You know, if I don't know what I'm doing, I just get killed immediately. And Splatoon really, really makes me love shooters again. And I think that's awesome.
Woo!
Yay. Awesome.
What about you guys?
AJ?
You know, I don't know. Like, I didn't play a lot of the games I wanted to play. Like,
yeah,
I really
neither.
Wanted to play Fallout, and I never got around to it. I did enjoy what I played at Battlefront. Yes, I think I feel like it's not a lot of content for what you're paying. And that's the way I feel about the Black Ops installment this year. I don't feel like the maps and like, how many maps did it have? Like, I don't feel like I had a lot to justify the price of a brand new game, and they're up there now, like $60. Mm. I don't know. I did enjoy it. It was fantastic. And especially like you guys said, flying the spaceship and the dogfight, that's fantastic. And, you know, I played the Halo game. That was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I love Halo. I haven't played too much of the multiplayer yet, but it just, you know, it didn't feel like a spectacular game. It felt like it was good, and I didn't regret buying it. But that's kind of the way I feel about a lot of the games this year. Maybe I just haven't played the right one. I did play some Splatoon. It did feel fantastic. But, I don't know. I wasn't thrilled this year. I mean, everything was great, but nothing was fantastic.
No, the AJ was let down this year, guys. Let it be known. AJ was let down.
Mm-hmm. What a party pooper.
Yep.
Oh, no. I feel like as much as, you know, there were good, unique, and new entries that both of you, not AJ, sorry, love you, referenced that, you know, there were some good new series this year, but I feel like the main thing that impressed me this year was new entries in a series that, like, really just went above and beyond. And, you know, like, take, for example, number 3, Witcher 3.
Mm.
One of those games where, you know, the first game, I don't know if you played it, a lot of it was, like, watching paint dry. I mean, it had its moments. It was just, like, kind of arbitrary playing the game where, you know, you do something at the beginning of the game and it affects you later on. And then you play the second game, and it's so, so much better. And then you play the third game, and you're like, I don't understand how this is possible. Kind of went the same way, though, with Batman. No? Arkham Knight? No?
I mean... I never got a chance to play it.
I was one of those people who kind of just, like, blasted through it, though. Like, where it was one of those games where you could just sit and keep playing and keep playing, where it was just, you know, improved mechanics, a lot more fun, a not-so-impressive twist. But, you know, you know, much, much tighter. And, you know, despite the fact that we might have said that, you know, certain things might not have been complete, Metal Gear Solid 5 is kind of, you know, impressive that you could spend so many hours in a game that might not, you know, that could have problems or might not be complete and, like, just still come away from it, you know, I don't know, the way I did. It was just amazing for me. Just, I don't know. I guess.
Woo!
You know,
oh,
yeah, bringing everything full circle about the series and stuff like that, yeah.
It's like, even in its state, it had so much stuff, like, so much packed into it, more than so many other games that have.
You could lose, like, 12 hours in that game without even doing anything to the storyline.
it's honestly, I think in terms of open world games, I think that it raised the bar for open world.
Absolutely.
Just the fact that even if you don't even need a fully developed city, you could just have wilderness or mountains
and small little bases everywhere.
And small little bases, but yet still pack so much content just because everything designed in it was so tightly made and well done.
Yep. Okay. Now that we finished, that wonderfulness of video games, what do we got next, James?
Do you guys want to talk a little bit about TV? I know I'm a huge TV buff, so I watch a lot of television. So I certainly have my favorites from this year. I think my biggest surprise in television this year was going to be at my number 3 spot, and that's Limitless. This is a show that's adapting the movie with Bradley Cooper that they did a few years back, and it's a CBS show, so I'm already inclined not to like it. Very serialized, very...
very bland and made for old people.
Very bland and definitely has an older demographic, but you know what? It's fun. The show is just a surprising amount of fun. It's just the right amount of questioning kind of what you're doing, but it's kind of like a... kind of a like a sci-fi thriller comedy. It's neat with this weird blend of procedural cop show meets Bradley Cooper's blue eyes and wisecracking bits from the main character. It was just really interesting and a really pleasant surprise. So I think that's going to come in at my number 3. I'm going to have to say number 2. And, it was a struggle here to which one of Marvel's great Netflix series this year I was going to pick. But I think I'm going to go with Jessica Jones. It's the more recent one I've watched, but I think it's a more important story. What Jessica Jones does in a larger context, really bringing it to the table, makes it more compelling. Don't get me wrong. Daredevil is incredible, and it certainly should be seen by everyone, but I think if you were going to watch one of the two, I'd recommend Jessica Jones before I would Daredevil. Both
standalone and are fantastic.
Yeah, and it's just with incredible performances. David Tennant as Kilgrave is just absolutely fantastic. It's like you can't even comprehend how evil this man is, but he still is able to make you feel for him, in ways that make you feel terrible and awful inside. No, I'm not allowed to feel this way. And Kristen Ritter's portrayal of Jessica is just spot on. I mean, she inhabits that character in a way I think that, nobody else quite in the Marvel Cinematic Universe inhabits their character, except maybe for Robert Downey Jr. And that's saying a lot. But I think my number one favorite thing of this year, and it was the biggest surprise to me, and I think Matt's gonna join me on this, is a little 10-episode series that came out of freaking nowhere on USA called Mr. Robot.
Yes.
Mr. Robot was the biggest and freshest surprise I've seen on television with a film style and storytelling narrative that's something I usually reserve for movies and HBO, focusing on a tech-related plot that makes sense and uses actual technology and actual knowledge of technology to create a compelling and interesting story instead of leaving technology in the realms of magic. He's magic. He put his fingers on the keyboard and things happen. No, it's a real compelling show that talks about DDoS attacks and hard drive corruption and works with the way our society deals with security and technology. And it's just... it's incredible, and it just blew me out of the water. I had no idea, I wasn't even going to watch it. The trailers or the previews didn't make it seem particularly exciting, and I think, was it you, Matt, who told me?
I think it was me when, of all people, my parents suggested I check out the show. It says, oh, it has a lot to do with technology and computers. You might like it. And so I actually watched it with my parents, and this is my go-to measuring stick, and like whether something's good. If my parents are able to enjoy it, even if it's something that they have known nothing about, then it has to be doing something right. Because my parents absolutely loved Mr. Robot as well. Yeah, and then after I was like, wow, everybody in my house is loving it. I better tell you guys.
I feel like that's really an overlooked thing about a lot of stuff that people are like, you know, they're like, oh, it's really smart and da-da-da. But, like, really, like, presenting a source material that, like, is beyond you but make it, like, accessible and not like, oh, they're saying a lot of words I don't understand. This is scary. I don't want to watch it anymore. You know, being able to present that properly, really, I feel like is a very overlooked and underappreciated thing.
Well, it's something that Mr. Robot does spectacularly. It's really where it succeeds in a way that I've never seen done with technology on television.
Yeah, because I mean that's one of the things a lot of people were annoyed with at Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a lot of the hand wave. Yeah, computers happen.
It's pretty much on everything. I think as my number three show on my list, Limitless actually literally makes fun of that by doing a hand wave. During a computer scene, it's like, this is all computer technical stuff. I'm just going to wave my hand in front of the camera. We're going to move on. So, you know, it's just amazing that Mr. Robot was able to do that. You know, and like I said, Matt texted me and was like, hey, James, you should watch this. I'm like, oh, I didn't think it was going to be that good. And boy, Matt and I every week were just texting throughout episodes. You know, I haven't sat down and tried to watch TV live like that in a long time, probably since like season two or three of Game of Thrones, you know? So it's been a couple of years since I really, you know, had event television, but man, Mr. Robot certainly became it for me this year. What about you guys? Did you guys watch anything that really blew you away?
Yeah, I think I'm actually kind of unique as to you guys. I would say number three, I was very, very impressed by the miniseries Agent Carter. That Marvel put out. You know, they probably could have, you know, taken more risks had they gone to a Netflix format. And, you know, a lot of people probably felt like it was just, you know, trying to fill the gap between Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I think, you know, only being eight episodes long kind of enabled it to strangely go deeper with the story, if that makes sense. You know, they will have fun with it, you know, introduce a bunch of, you know, a bunch of characters we're not familiar with while maintaining, you know, the familiar, which, you know, will draw on some other people. And, you know, I know a lot of people are in love with the character of Peggy Carter, who, you know, is like practically dead by the time they have any of the other Marvel movies. But, you know, she's 100 years old. Aww. in a nursing home. But no, it was really just, you know, a lot of fun and, you know, anything to, you know, get to watch Hayley Atwell's lovely, lovely body. Anyway, moving on. Oh, yeah. Moving on, I actually just recently finished this, was Master of None, actually.
Oh, yeah, I heard really good things about Master of None.
And, you know, like, not a lot of stuff happened. You know, it's a very, you know, small scope series. You know, it's, you know, a lot of social issue dealing with. You know, you touch upon the fact that, like, Azeen Ansari has, like, a white female as a girlfriend, which, you know, we would probably look at that and you're like, oh, okay, and, like, but then people will be like, oh, you know, what's it like having a mixed relationship? And they're like, yes. You know, I dated a lot of the whites before, but, you know, like I dated a half Asian guy. So, you know, that was kind of the gateway drug. But, you know, like there's just like dopey little things like that where, you know, you kind of can see a generational gap. You can see a cultural gap that they try to present and sexism. They touch on a lot of like things, but don't do so in a way that might cause people to, you know, have the kind of reaction, you know. And then I would say, you know, in reverse of how you were thinking, my number one was Daredevil, because it kind of invents the scope of the smaller hero of, you know, the pocket things that grow in as related directly actually to the Avengers movie. And, you know, like they do reference that quite a few times going back, and you see, well, one, you know, it's now invented the Netflix superhero genre, you know, so now we have Jessica Jones.
Woo!
We'll have Luke Cage soon, a second series of that. Who's the fourth series that I can't think of right now?
Iron Fist.
And Punisher is supposed to be in the second series. So, like, we're getting a lot of, like, lot of fun properties that, you know, we might not have seen before. And really, you know, like, I think it's just small and fun, which, you know, loans itself so well to the Netflix platform. And really just, you know, created a wonderful experience that I was able to do, even though, you know, like most people, I don't have the ability necessarily to sit down and watch a television show live all the time.
Yeah, I mean, I know we all here really liked Peggy Carter. We do our Agents of Non-Pro TV party hangout every Sunday night, and we're certainly looking forward to season two. But yeah, no, all those I've heard, I really liked a lot of Aziz Ansari's Master of None. I didn't get to finish it. And, you know, Daredevil, obviously, like I said, really tough choice about putting it on my list.
That punches you right in the gut.
What about you, AJ? Did you get through any TV this year?
You know, I'm not a big TV guy. Obviously, like I mentioned earlier, despite all the hand-waving, I do enjoy Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And they've gone interesting places this season, I'll say that. It's definitely entertaining. I'll give an honorable mention to Agent Carter, which I also enjoyed but was not in my top three. I also give an honorable mention to The Daily Show, which I'm glad is still around. I feel like Trevor Noah is still kind of finding his place in there. I think, you know, but he's doing a pretty good job with it. And I see a lot. It doesn't compel me to go and stream it verbatim, which I used to do with Jon Stewart all the time. But I do see a lot of those clips from his show on my Facebook feed. And he has some fantastic ones. I guess Donald Trump gives him a lot of material to work with. Let's see.
While you're looking there. People often overlook the fact that, you know, Jon Stewart, you know, was copying Craig Kilborn for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And didn't really hit his stride until, like, his third season on the show. So, you know, he could very well get a lot better and more fun and, you know, he find his style properly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure, he will. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to say my go-to in the fake news this year has definitely been John Oliver.
He's fantastic.
Neat seeing a fake news show on HBO that can go tell you to go, you know, F yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that he does have the unfair advantage of being able to say
he does,
that.
He does.
As, who else is, who's the other fake news guy?
Well, we've got, right after Trevor Noah is the former black correspondent for the Daily Show.
Well,
he's doing that.
He's trying.
His show's pretty good. I don't hate it. Samantha Bee's starting up a show this year. I don't think there are any others.
We lost
there
a lot of our strong stuff.
Definitely.
Who's the one guy? Politically Incorrect has the more current show. I know Politically Incorrect hasn't been on the air for like since like 1997. Oh man, what's his name?
Yeah, I don't know.
The weed guy, very left.
Yeah, I know. He's always talking about how he's an atheist. I can't remember.
He's just not jumping in my head. Is that over?
Yeah, also on HBO.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking about it because I thought you were saying the other guy on HBO. I was like, what's his name? Bill Maher.
Bill Maher!
Yeah.
Oh,
yes, boy. So very popular. But there we go. I feel like
Bill Maher. I wonder if you're still relevant if we can't remember your name.
He's very libertarian, green, and...
And he's... I don't know. I feel like Trevor Noah and Jon Stewart, they had very liberal opinions.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're able to balance it a little better.
Yeah, they balanced it a little bit. They gave people the benefit of the doubt. I feel like Bill Maher just calls you an idiot if you don't agree with him.
It's true.
And it doesn't matter who you are. I mean, which is fine. That's why he's on the network he's on.
I mean, 5% of the time you can find something true on Fox News. Not like you always have to disagree with him.
Yeah, it's like, but that's like shooting a shotgun at a barn and drawing a bullseye around it.
Yeah.
You know, it's, yeah. Yeah, eventually they're going to get something right, but a clock is right twice a day. It doesn't
I'm just saying
mean
you
it's
don't
accurate.
Have to necessarily dismiss everything initially. I mean, you probably show with Fox News, but not to get political here, but, you know.
Fair enough. Anyway,
so what was your number one
shows
AJ?
I liked? I did like what they did with The Walking Dead, except for, you
I haven't
know,
watched. I have
know,
not watched Walking Dead
things
in
I'm
like
not
two
talk
seasons.
About
I exclusively read The Walking Dead.
Yeah, I read. I haven't watched in like two seasons, so
But yeah, there was some
spoilers.
All I'll say is that there were things that they held as suspenseful, but they held it for several weeks when you could have just resolved the next episode. What the hell, guys? Literally. I mean, yes, I'm going to watch the next episode. You don't have to hold this carrot on a string. Like, I'm going to come back the following week, too, as long as you don't kill the person I don't want to die. Nah, even though you do that occasionally. yeah, so Walking Dead annoyed me, but I know it's still entertaining, and I still tune in for it, so it's got something going for it. But, yeah.
Okay, and six honorable mentions.
No. That was my number two.
So what's your number one?
One more honorable mention.
Oh, gosh.
The Last Man on Earth.
The show by Phil Lord and Chris Miller.
Yeah, it was so interesting. I'm like, well, I don't know. Eventually,
we've gotten two seasons of that this year.
Yeah, I felt like towards the end of the second season, I just started kind of losing interest. But right out the gate, it was very interesting, and it felt very fresh. I mean, there's lots of jokes, very funny people in it. And it's that concept you always think about, like, not even if you're the last man on Earth. One of these two deplorable people are the last people on Earth. And they can't.
And they won't even.
Get it. Exactly. So, but last but not least, my favorite show this year is
Drumroll?
Definitely Daredevil. I hate you, James.
Daredevil.
Yay.
I mean, it was fantastic. You could not do it. You could not do it on network television. There's no way. The fact that it entered into this FCC gray area where they could just show you him. Like,
I think it went a little graphic. Probably more so than TV could. It probably, you know, said a few things TV couldn't do. You know, probably showed a few things TV could show, but maybe not.
Really needed to, and that's what the movie, right, a few years ago, Daredevil movie. That's what it was missing.
Yeah, I mean,
because it was still very poppy. It was still very comic booky. Whereas this obviously is very comic booky, but it's very dark and gritty. And I felt like it took the attitude Daredevil needed to take.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know. They said they tried to touch upon the fact that, like, you know, Daredevil gets his butt whooped
a lot
every day. And I feel absolutely. Like the whole series, you're like, is he going to die?
Yeah. I mean, you are wondering a lot whether or not he's going to succumb to these injuries, because they are serious ones. And internal bleeding, broken bones.
Yeah.
And the fact that he can't go to the hospitals most of the time is also very problematic, because, you know, being a vigilante can kind of... can do that to you. But it was awesome. And even I'm blanking on
Daredevil is a great show. In fact, so much of the stuff that we liked this year was brought to us by, you know, other sources like Netflix.
By the Disney Corporation.
Well, yeah, that too. But
we love you, Disney.
But by Netflix and by these other venues.
I'm actually really excited to go watch the Man in the Last Castle or the Nazi
Man
show.
In the High Castle.
High Castle, that's it. Yeah, you know, I'm just really excited to see. I mean, just saying, you know, it's not just Netflix. Amazon's putting stuff out. I think Hulu has some decent
Hulu's got some good stuff
original
too.
Original programming, you know, like
Yahoo tried for a hot second.
Yeah.
So, all right, we've got about 10 minutes left. Let's turn our eyes. Matt, what did you like? Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. We talked about Mr. Robot, I forgot.
Wow.
Kidding, I'm joking. We all love you and appreciate your opinion.
Matt, what did you love on TV this year?
Obviously.
After AJ mentioned everything.
Yeah. Everything and then some. No, definitely Mr. Robot is very up there, close to my number one. AJ briefly touched upon it, but I still love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It's still a very fun show, and it's still, I feel like, one of the best paced superhero shows out there ever. And I think it even does, like, I feel like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does pacing overall sometimes they do it better than Jessica Jones or Daredevil did. I felt like a couple points in those series. I felt like things kind of dragged out a bit, but Agent Shield, I've always felt I'm invested in what's happening next, and I know that like it's going to be a continuation for the most part. But for my number one, I'm going to back you up, James. I'm going to say my number one is Jessica Jones.
Oh yeah.
For all the reasons you guys talked about, but also it was. I've said it, I think, in my non-pro fan club or whatever, but it's a show that I never knew I always wanted. The things that it dealt with, the things that it brought to light, like the issues that it tackled. It was something that like I've always felt like this needs to be done because there's such few things out there to have people understand about a lot of the issues that the show brings up. But like now that it's out there, I think it opens the gates for shows to start tackling all these things. And I will be forever grateful that this show started this opportunity. And also obviously David Tennant, Kristen Ritter, fantastic leads. And it was a show that you can't binge it because you'll honestly be a wreck if you try to binge it.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I binge the crap out of it.
You're a soulless husk.
I cried for days.
Don't watch it with your parents.
It depends. So I mean, you know, you've a close relationship with your parents, I guess. I don't know. I'm gonna just walk away.
But it was definitely, it was an important show, not just for comic book IPs, but for television in general. It should be like, almost like recommended watching or required watching. I feel like it's going to be something that will be looked upon and emulated and drew and inspired from for years to come, not just for comic book television, but for all of television. And it was just absolutely fantastic.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, with 10 minutes left, let's turn our eyes to 2016. I know, right? It's so exciting.
Wow.
And ask ourselves, what are we most excited for in 2016?
Luke Cage. I mean, yeah, I'm well, Netflix on the whole, really, because I mean, Netflix is kind of becoming like a top network unto itself. Everything, you know, what have they put out, you know, minus, you know, the terrible, terrible Adam Sandler thing that, you know,
did Ridiculous Six.
Yeah, that's like, you can't even find it now. Like it's like they just banished it to the far corners of the hard drives and servers. But really, everything that they put out, again, minus that, is just wonderful, amazing to watch. You're able to just plow through in a single sitting, you know, unless you're a little girl and you cry a lot. But, joking. You know, it's amazing that they've done stuff like that, you know, especially, you know, starting with, like, Orange and the New Black and House of Cards, that they essentially invented a new way to watch TV.
It's
good.
Yeah, no, Netflix is incredible. I think probably what I'll be most excited for in 2016 is I think it's gonna be The Legend of Zelda, man. I've got my Wii U for a reason, and it's to play Legend of Zelda. And you know, I find that I'm playing the Wii U more and more with all the wonderful games that Nintendo's coming out with, and they all play so great. And I think I want the same thing from their new massive Zelda game.
Yeah, we can't forget also coming from, I guess, the Nintendo end is the realization of a childhood dreams with Pokemon Go.
I am going to be very interested in what an augmented reality Pokemon Go world looks like. Will our future be thrown into chaos as we all quit our jobs and begin to hunt Pokemon in each other's bushes? No metaphors, just
in the tall bushes. Grass. James.
In the tall grass. Thank
They're
you.
They're in the tall.
They're
grass.
In the tall. There were the no woods. Bushes. You cut the bushes using the TM.
My Farfetch'd actually did it all.
Yep.
Yep.
I taught him that TM because I didn't care about the Farfetch.
What about you, Matt?
He's a slave, an HM slave.
Wow, that went very dark.
Yeah.
Speaking of video games, 2016 looks absolutely stacked. Just look at the list. We have XCOM 2, Street Fighter 5, Uncharted 4, Dark Souls 3. But I think my number one, my top games I'm looking forward to is Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I absolutely love the Mirror's Edge series, and here, like, I absolutely freaked out when I first heard about the announcement at E3 2014. And it was delayed so they could work on the game, but I'm still highly anticipating that.
Kingdom
but
Hearts.
Also, two more other games, I guess. First is, it's finally going to happen. Supposedly, we'll see, but Final Fantasy 15 is supposed to be released for 2016. We'll see if it actually happens. But
I was going to say, do I see you holding your breath there, Matt?
I don't want to pass out, so I'm not going to. But following the updates on it, just seeing about what the new team is doing with a new director, they're very into it, and I'm hopeful that'll be coming out. And finally, I'm honestly surprised it's supposed to be set for this coming year, but I guess it is. But the next Mass Effect game, Mass Effect Andromeda, that's slated for quarter four of this year. It'll be interesting to see what direction they go after 3, and we really don't know much about it, except that it takes place a long time after 3, sometime after 3. So it'll be interesting, like, what has changed, what has stayed the same. And, I mean, Mass Effect is probably BioWare's big baby, like, money-making baby right now. So, obviously, all resources are going into that.
So I'm guessing this is the year I should probably catch up and play Mass Effect?
Yes. You might want to start.
You might want to start last year.
Yeah, it might take you a while. I have logged hundreds of hours into that game.
And he still didn't beat it.
What about you, AJ?
You know, actually, I don't. There's a few things I'm holding my breath with. A few things I'm a little worried about. Like, I know they're making an Assassin's Creed movie.
They are?
At least
it has Michael Fassbender.
It
love
does
him.
Have Michael Fassbender.
He is a great actor. But can he save bad video game movies?
Right?
Just put it on mute and just look into his dreamy, dreamy eyes. That's all you need.
That's all you need.
There's Rogue One, the Star Wars story.
Yay.
That could be fantastic.
Ooh,
I hope.
Definitely.
Right? I like that it's not, you know, like all the other Star Wars.
And then it'll only be six
At
months
all.
To the next
it's a Star Wars movie.
Movie
that
I know, right?
Isn't
That's
based
the best
around
part.
A young Jedi. You know? I mean, I'm kind of excited for that. Doctor Strange, obviously.
Woohoo.
Everyone wants that.
I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch could just be standing there for 90 minutes or 2 hours.
We
and
would
everybody
pay.
Would still love the movie.
Suicide
just
Squad.
Just like before he hosted Hogarth one time. And then just staring. I'm good.
Suicide Squad. The next Star Trek movie's coming out. The Ghostbusters movie. Like, I will be watching movies this year. I will not, at the end of this year, I will not be like, well, I didn't make it to the movie theater too much. No, this is...
Be a good sellout slash nostalgia year, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, last year was a sellout slash nostalgia year, too.
But just, it's twice as much this year.
Right? I mean, Independence Day.
Well,
oh, my God, that's coming out. Right.
Right?
I think an Independence Day movie without Will Smith, though.
I think we have a New Year's resolution from AJ. It's to...
Not see a single movie.
To see more movies. Mine is to play right. Mass Effect. Matt, what's your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution
is... You get 30 seconds.
Watch more television.
Got it.
Yeah.
Netflix.
Watch more Netflix. All right, guys. We are going to intake a lot of media this year just for you. So stay tuned, and we will follow up in all these wonderful with all these wonderful internet arguments in a convenient audio form. Good night, folks, and thank you for joining us on The Line Cutters. I'm James.
I'm Pope.
Cappy.
Matt.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Okay, I love you. Bye-bye.
Did we actually fit that in?
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.